The camera begins by overlooking the waveless lake in the red city of Agmar. The suns are shining overhead as we look upon a wide, supernaturally placid lake as smooth as a pane of glass, despite the many citizens that are enjoying its cool waters today. Suddenly, a breeze begins to blow, a faint but chilling gust of air that causes a tingling sensation on the skin. A quiet rumble can be heard in the distance. Perhaps a storm coming? Impossible on a clear, sunny day like today. But the rumble persists, and a few sunbathers start to take notice. A shout of exclamation, a cry of alarm, as those deeper in the lake see something begin to emerge from the still waters. A large, green orb with four protruding legs and a set of jet-black eyes slowly begin to pierce the glassy water. The sky darkens as clouds rush in far too quickly. The rumbling of thunder can be heard clearly now, and as the first crack of lightning deafens the nearest swimmers, the large green orb begins to move closer to the beach, resolving into a large tree frog. Panic seizes the waveless lake as black clouds shift and twist into strange formations. Terror grips the hearts of onlookers as they flee to safety. But those that foolishly turn back see a massive green bulbous form smash a nearby boat as the tendrils in the sky display a single message. Golden Tree rules!
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What an ill portent.
Yeah.
To start this particular session of our podcast. What podcast is that, you might ask? Well, that's Reckless Attack, the 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast that you are listening to right now that we are all participating in. And who is it that is participating? Well, for starters, it's me, GM Nathan. Hello. I'm joined by all the players. Hello, players.
Hi.
To my left.
Hello, GM Nathan.
It's me, Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human astral cleric of the Arcana Domain. And man, Val is amped, pumped, nervous, may vomit. It's library day.
not from the large frog from the intro.
Val has no idea what's happening.
Got it. Yeah,
with that frog. She is at the breakfast table 2 hours before she normally wakes up because she just can't sleep, has triple checked all of her gear and is trying to eat, but just like is too jittery. And to my left.
Hi, I'm Jonathan and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And today, Checkers is nowhere to be seen. Just completely vanished. Last we heard from him, he was off making friends somewhere outside the city of Agmar, and no one has heard from him since.
But it is very nice of you, Jonathan, to still be here as like a moral support player, essentially. We're not playing a character or anything, just here for like good vibes.
Right. I'm just playing the background NPCs today.
Perfect.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock. And I can imagine Kaskrin is like running down the street, like at reports of this giant green tree frog emerging from the waveless lake. And it's like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden there's just like Godzilla vibes as he emerges from the lake and is like trampling, you know, I don't know.
Checker steps on a boat or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who, if I had to rate Selv's, I don't know what to call it, anticipation of this day, I would say below Val.
I mean, that's, it would be physically impossible
be
to be really even equal to, let alone surpassing.
But above Checkers, I think. And let me explain. See, I know Checkers is really excited about this because it's kind of like the restricted section.
Yeah.
But I imagine in Checkers' mind, it's like the forbidden section. And so therefore, Checkers really wants to go there. But Selv, being a dragonborn and being, you know, dragon-ish, and the hoarding of knowledge is kind of big with that particular group.
I think Kaskrin is like the least excited because he was the most excited to make the presentation. And now that we're actually going in, it's like, can I make another presentation?
Right, yeah.
What kind of trifold board skills can I bring?
What about you guys go get it and I will then present it
the findings to the council.
Exactly. And what is it that we're doing today? We've alluded to it, but that's right, ladies and germs. Germs being the gender-neutral term. We're heading to the library today. Oh, yeah. That's what you expect from your hot D&D podcast action. But we're not just going to the Agmar Public Library, the Library of the Red City. No. Our adventurers today are going into its restricted section. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, it's serious.
Neat.
That's for sure. These level 7 adventurers. That's right. Level 7, you get to finally go to the library. Oh, yes.
Level 7.
You guys have been tasked with going into the library to obtain somewhere between 2 and 5 very specific books for Lorana Moonglove, the kind of mysterious, weird sorceress who you guys met, who has promised to help you with the bones, and specifically helping you guys find a solution either to fix a few of them or maybe provide a permanent way to fix those who have been broken in perpetuity, depending on how many books you guys come out with. You guys have spent a little bit of time kind of, you know, gearing up. I don't know. Did you guys decide how long, like, you know, you had 2 weeks for Lorana to come.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted a little bit of wiggle room just in case something weird happened, some weird time dilation, some whatever. How much like breathing room are you guys giving yourselves? Are you like, I need a week of downtime in preparation? Are you like, week and a half? We can do it day before, night of, no problem. Like, I got this, easy peasy.
Val absolutely not could wait that long. She rounded everybody up. There is at least a week after this because she wants to read the books before she gives them to Lorana, and also just could not physically wait anymore to get to the restricted section.
I think if Val gave us 3 days, that would be probably the most that she could. she'd be like, all right, it's, you know, it's day 4. We're going. Everybody's ready. You ready? You ready? Everybody ready? We're ready.
Well, in addition to that, Val did also mind link with an untethered bones and experience the sheer emotion of rage and bloodlust. And in behind all of that, there is still a mind who is uncontrolled but aware that they are in this prison of emotion. So that is also driving her to get this done. And if, like, something does go wrong in that week, potentially we could try again.
Yeah.
And, like, the librarians may have told her, no, this is a one-shot kind of deal. And Val's like, no, we'll figure out. I'm going to do my best.
We need to go back in.
Yeah.
Do my best to get everything done and get what we need. But she wants to have that backup plan.
Yep. Yeah. Makes sense. So most of the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild find themselves outside of the library. It is, I presume, pretty early in the day, pretty much first thing. I guess, is Kaskarin also there yet?
He was off this morning tending to an emergency. But I think, I don't know, I feel like after realizing that it was a large frog, it was like, this is fine. Like, you know, tending to the people, and then it's like, well, I have an appointment. Like, I gotta go.
Well, in that case, so if you did actually go over there, then we'll say you're not there yet.
Okay.
In part because probably you would know that if just you showed up without the full rest of the party who you maybe had the ability to drag over.
Okay. Yep. Sure. Yep. Okay, yeah, Kaskrin's not there either.
So, Checkers has been gone for a bit. Kaskrin left in a flurry of activity earlier this morning. I assume promised, oh, I'll be right back.
Yep.
No worries, it's library day. I gotcha.
Finger guns on the way out, and then just full sprint down the street.
Val is just, like, trying to shoot Mind Sliver at you to be like, absolutely not. You have just, like, a ticking clock in your mind.
But 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. I'll be right back.
And so Selv and Val find themselves at the appointed time outside of the Agmar Library. Checkers has not been heard from for, now that you think about it, like, maybe the better part of a day.
At least, yeah.
Like, I figure if it was, like, multiple days, maybe you would have postponed or something like that. But, like, Checkers is gone. Kaskrin is not here yet. How are you guys feeling in this moment?
Val is fuming. This was, like, I don't know. It's not, like, Christmas morning, but it's, like, what's it, like, kind of equivalent, like where,
like a big camping adventure.
No,
you're about to go on a big, like, ooh, my fun summer camp is starting. Or
I think for Val it's more like the day before a big test, where like she is excited because she has prepared a lot for it. She feels confident in her skills, but there's still that like fluttering of the stomach, like she is nervous because something could go wrong. Like, she has done everything she can do to prepare for it, but could be thrown a curveball. And that curveball has already happened.
Upwards of two curveballs.
She has not even gotten to the test yet.
What is, paint me of like a picture of like, what is Val doing? Like, as she is, stewing is maybe not the right word, but like is experiencing the ups and downs that she is currently. Like, she is waiting outside the library. What does that look like?
Oh, she is pacing and fuming and just like muttering under her breath.
Does she have like a big backpack on of like supplies?
Oh, she's got like all of her adventuring gear on. She has made more granola, and she's just like, well, I'll just throw their granola in the fountain. They won't get any granola.
Just Val's just slamming handfuls of their granola. Be like, oh, that'll teach them all of their poor.
But yeah, she's just fuming, and then she kind of goes from fuming to like practical thoughts of like, well, what happens if they don't show up? Like, can we still do this? Do we have to postpone? They called in extra librarians to work overtime today. And just like going through different scenarios, and then cycles back to being mad about ad checkers and cast grades.
Is Val me? Is Val, yeah. Is Val Nathan?
I'm mostly just like, I'm sad because none of those items that you're worried about are, is Checkers okay? How's he feeling?
This is emotional state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he having a nice time?
I haven't seen him in a day or two, you know? Like, where is he?
I feel like that is not just odd.
If he ever shows up, I will murder him.
Yeah, right.
I will strangle him.
I hope he's okay because I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, no, Val is not worried about Checkers because he goes away, like, all the time and always shows back up. I don't think it would cross her mind to be worried about Checkers because he's always fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever the situation is, Checkers comes out on top. It's fine.
Yep.
The frog stack prevails.
Yeah. And then, Selv, what's the, like, counter or, like, corresponding or the Selv energy while as Val is, like, pacing behind, like, I'm imagining just, like, basically in a big circle around you, where like sometimes it's in front of the camera and it's behind you and it's in front of the camera.
So Selv is doing his best to project a feeling of calm and is willing this calm upon Val, which does not seem to be taking hold. It takes hold occasionally, like, you know, she slows down, she, you know, and then it's immediately back to the pacing. And then I think after a few minutes, Selv will actually sit down on the steps of the library and attempt to meditate, to center himself before going into the library, and will occasionally open up one eye and try to catch Val's attention and maybe pat the ground next to him. And then Val just kind of keeps going, and then Solve will shrug a little bit and then give it a few more minutes and then maybe open up his other eye and catch Val's attention and maybe pat the other side of the stairs.
Val is fuming too much for like to even notice what is like Solve patting the ground or anything. Like, just like completely oblivious and kind of in her own world. She'll occasionally like look up in the direction of just like do a quick scan like out from the library, but she doesn't have to look at Self. He's here and that will not change.
Yeah. Eventually, after like a bit of waiting, you guys both pick up with your, I think, very high passive perceptions. You overhear some chatter, and it's like, did you hear what happened to the lake? The lake, yeah, no, it's crazy, it's wild, right? I mean, I always knew the lake is weird, right? But like that, oh yeah, the eyes, God, like a doll's eyes. Oh.
Val has a moment of panic when they start talking about the eyes with the Armisen eyes creature invading her mind palace and shows up. Like, what the fuck? Not today. And then it's like the doll's eyes, the frog's eyes. She like whips around. It's like, where were the frog eyes? Points at this random stranger.
Right,
like, tell me about the frog eyes.
This old man. And just at that moment, you turn in the general direction of the Waveless Lake. And David and Jonathan, what is it that the rest of your party sees in this moment?
So I'm imagining walking down one of the main thoroughfares to the library is Kaskrin, Checkers, and Mango. And Mango is just plopping around, happy as can be, normal size green tree frog. And Kaskrin just has like Checkers by the scruff of his neck, just holding him.
And Kaskrin is like soaked.
Yeah.
Beard damp, like, you know, he's utterly like, he was prepped and ready to go, and all of his equipment, all of his clothing, all of his armor just soaked.
And as the two of you approach, Checker is just kind of dangling by Kaskrin's rocky arm.
The scruff of the neck, like a cat, just like dangling.
Hi, Val. Hi, Sal. Morning.
Is Checkers also soaked?
Checkers is, he's got like, yeah, he's soaking wet, got bits of seaweed dangling off of him. Like, his feet are clearly muddy.
I feel like there's two very different attitudes about being wet, though, with these two
people. Yeah.
Yes.
And Kaskrin will, like, set Checkers down on his feet directly in front of the library stairs. Yeah.
Just being like, go forward. Yeah. Here's where you need to, you, there. That's where you're going.
We have a appointment today.
Selv will glance down at, I'm guessing that Checkers and Cass stop kind of in front of us and just dripping, and there's a small puddle beginning to form.
Yep.
As the drips drip into that puddle, is there a ripple? My question is, if you take water out of the Waveless Lake and bring it somewhere, is it still waveless?
No, it is just in the property, because there's like rivers that flow into it and that kind of stuff. But like once it hits the boundaries of it is where it becomes like weird and still. And then the second you're like, you just dunk, you know, like a bucket in it, it's like, cool, sloshing around.
Gotcha. Okay.
Kaskrin, as he was like approaching the Waveless Lake, I imagine was met with like people fleeing the scene.
Yeah.
You know, just like, again, utter chaos. And he finds, I'm imagining, like, Mango is large, and he is, like, on the beach of the Waveless Lake, just, like, kind of being a monolith and standing there. And Checkers is, like, next to him, shouting to the sky like Frankenstein's monster has just, like, just awoken.
Yes! I've done it!
And then there is some point where Kaskrin approaches and is like, what the hell is the Checkers? And Mango, like, unfurls his large tongue and just, like, eats Kaskrin.
Yeah.
So and, that's why Cass is wet?
Oh, God.
Gross.
And then, like, you know, we all, like, make our way to the library. Kaskrin sets Checkers down and is like, explain yourself.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, Cass. Mango just wanted to go for a swim.
Just then, you guys hear a voice, a familiar voice behind you. Oh, hey, y'all are here. Hello. And you see just the head of Andromeda, the weird spider lady librarian, who is just sticking out of the large doorway. Like, you see no parts of her body, no nothing. Just her kind of vaguely humanoid but multi-eyed head just sticking out and looking at all of you guys. And just like, oh, y'all here, come on in, come on in. I'm sorry if you were waiting for an invitation.
Val will spin on a heel and start walking up the steps towards Andromeda. And we're like, yes, we're here. We're ready to go. And then we'll mind link Andromeda. I mean, like, just speed talking her frustration out of what happened and being like, I'm sorry, but like, I'm trying to keep it professional. After she like just rants really quick to Andromeda, just kind of like vent. And it's like, thank you for that. I appreciate you being here. And then we'll go back to speaking normally.
Does Val's facial expression change with the mind?
She's very practiced.
Very, okay.
I think she is so practiced at doing it, especially like as a young kid, doing it like with her brother in front of her parents, like getting away with secret communication, where she can like choose to mimic her talking so that others might be able to see she's doing it. But if she doesn't want you to know she's mind linking, you do not know she is mind linking.
Okay, gotcha.
Andromeda, again, is like, by the time you guys enter into the library, is literally already back at her welcome desk. You can see her many arms already going back to sorting, stamping, and otherwise dealing with all of the paperwork that go into running a massive, massive library like this. And again, as a reminder, the Agmar Public Library is a sight. It is beautiful. It is expansive. You can feel the cultural significance of it as you're in there. You can see unseen servants carrying piles of books, and you can see a lot of activity of researchers of all kinds of stuff. And already it is kind of thrumming with activity. And Andromeda looks at you guys and just like, oh, Val, you know where you're going?
Yep. Absolutely. Do you need anything from us before we head over there?
Not at all. There are already a few people there waiting. Good luck, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Casquin has asked for a towel so he doesn't drip on the floor.
Yeah.
Checkers is actively dripping on the floor.
One giant kind of like hand appendage reaches out again, impossibly just stretching long, hands one to Casquin, and then plops one just on top of Checkers that just like covers him entirely.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Agenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger. Dark Dice is a critically acclaimed actual play podcast brought to you by Fool and Scholar Productions. With over 20 awards in sound design, Dark Dice brings its horror-themed campaigns to life with snappy combats, terrifying monsters, and tons of original music. Each episode is only 45 minutes long and features an all-star cast of seasoned role players and first-time players alike, including folks you might recognize, like Jeff Goldblum, Lily Pichu, and Jasper William Cartwright. Start with Season 1 and follow the adventurers on their quest to investigate a doppelganger, or jump into Season 2 and listen to a new story about a terrible, corrupting sound that infects all who hear it. Dark Dice is available for free however you listen to podcasts or at darkdice.com. So ask yourself, do you seek him? So you guys head to the back of the library. I don't remember if you guys have seen it. I assume anyone who spent a good amount of time and would have asked to have been shown the restricted section would maybe have been able to see it.
Val has made it a point to memorize the entire layout of this library.
Makes sense.
She is probably better than half the librarians there at finding what she needs. She lets them help her because that is their job. But she's like, no, I know where this is.
She's the Ron Swanson of like, I know what I'm doing, but yeah, in a nice way. And for those of you who haven't seen it or aren't as familiar with the library, the path to getting to the restricted section is more labyrinthine than you would expect, to the point where you might not know where you are exactly. You're in the library, obviously. You're cutting through stacks, and then suddenly there's a new wing that you're like, wait, I thought that was back there. Okay, that's fine, but Val at least knows the direction to go to, and it is, again, it is surprisingly hidden.
I imagine, too, that it's like you have to hit the directions perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't backtrack your last misstep. If you miss, like, the right turn through the stacks, you have to, like, find your way back out and start back over.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Eventually, you guys start to see signs. First is just kind of like a section closed. Then you walk past that, obviously. And then, you know, then it kind of turns to like turn back. Staff only. And then finally, you kind of see an entryway that leads to kind of another wing that is labeled restricted section. And underneath that, there's an extended warning where it has the word warning in kind of big red, official Agmar red, in fact, lettering. And under it is a full warning label that is multi lines long that goes into, again, this is the restricted section of the Agmar Library according to city code XYZ. It has been closed to all members of the public. Side effects to entering include loss of life and loss of face, etc., etc.
Kaskrin just accepts the terms of service without reading it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you guys know. Yeah, you guys know what you're here for.
I imagine the sign is bigger than Checkers.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
You must be this tall to enter the restricted section.
You must be at least 3 years old to enter. Wow, sorry.
The entire, like, what is it, wild magic?
Yeah, exactly.
Possible outcomes can include.
But you guys presumably don't take the hint to turn around at this juncture. As soon as you go underneath the archway and this very long sign that, I don't know, maybe you have to duck under, apparently, according to the head fiction we've been creating.
Oh, see, this one I just imagine is like, it's a door that swivels on the middle. So, like, when you go through the right side, like the
warning
the back
of the warning sign, yeah, it just like turns
but
around.
But it's just continuing the warning.
Yeah.
We didn't know it was double sided.
Yes, exactly. And there is where you kind of see, again, it's just a pretty plain, almost tunnel kind of thing that opens up a little bit further. And at the far end of this relatively short little hallway tunnel, you see several figures, as well as a lot of multicolored ambient glowing. Something that you all, as level 7 guilders, that's an official term, would all recognize as a lot of just pure magical energy, all emanating from what appears to be a locked vault door.
Ooh, freaky dicky.
And the words "ooh, freaky deaky" echo down the tunnel. Everyone kind of turns, and there are four people who are there at the moment. You recognize several of them, but you recognize one first and foremost because this is the one that turns around and calls out to you and says, "Ha, Hi, Selv.
No, as we can't have this curse before this.
As a turtle wizard from your everyone's favorite rival guild, the Verdant Wave, Trankar the wizard, waves painfully slowly at the four of you as you walk in. Come on over, guys.
And we're already there.
Yeah. and he's turning back. In addition to Trankar, you actually recognize most of the rest of this group because, one, Granak the Minotaur, who again had been helping you, who had connected you with Lorana, his ex-something or other, but also had obviously helped you guys a little bit during the battle against the Mothman and all that stuff, and he kind of, the big Minotaur, sees you guys and kind of does like a grunt wave as he is still kind of waving his hands over what you now see are a just unbelievable amount of runic work all across. In addition to what's coming from the vault, you see now that there are runes carved everywhere on all the floors, all the walls, up on the ceiling, like on pillars around that are kind of like holding up the ceiling around, and is just covered with runes. And he just kind of like gives you guys a wave and like goes back to doing whatever it is that he's doing. You also hear another familiar voice as you guys kind of approach and come into the light a little bit. And you're like, ah, my friends, hello. It is so good to see you all. Kaskarin, hello. Azan is also here, who is also here and like is taping up pieces of paper, what it looks like, maybe spell scrolls, that kind of thing, and doing a lot of work and just kind of also waves at you guys. And
wait, this is in his pop-up shop?
No, it is not. It is not. He's presumably, his services have been hired by the city, or at least comped well.
He's just going to open one side of his coat and be like, look at these scrolls.
Yeah. Kaskarin is he's in. Like, yeah. Give me those scrolls. I knew I wasn't prepared enough.
Yeah. He's got a cloak of holding.
Yeah, exactly. And the fourth person who is here, you think you recognize for a second, but as you get closer, it's like, no, I don't know who that is, but they look really familiar for some reason. This person also just kind of looks at you and again, similarly gives you kind of a wave as this human man with kind of a darker complexion continues reading something from a book, you know, clearly doing some sort of spellcraft, something, and must be doing some sort of spell casting in this moment. But again, takes a moment to acknowledge you.
You said human man.
Yes, correct.
Okay. My mind went immediately to the dark skin toned elf who opened a portal in the middle of a dryad field.
Could be. So. Not this one, though, as far as you can tell.
Is there any familiar resemblance to Lorana?
Would you like to make a roll of any sort to see if you can piece together who this person reminds you of?
I would love to. Are you looking for like a perception thing or a history type
thing?
What are you
vibing?
I'm thinking perception.
That sounds
what I'm
seems
good at.
Pretty good to me.
All right, here we go.
Can I guess Vina Calvetta?
Certainly, you can. You can guess anything.
Okay,
you can guess
fine.
It's Godzilla.
Okay,
is it like her brother?
That would be a 16.
It is definitely Vina Calvetta.
Hey,
how does Selv, you recognize it? But I am fine because you, Jonathan, made the guess. How does Checkers put it together? Self knows. Self is like, this person looks exactly like perfect family resemblance. It is wild. Maybe a few years younger and definitely dressed differently, kind of in some very nice like brown, white, and kind of gold and red accented robes that are nice but very fashionably of the time, if that makes sense. But in the face, it's like, oh yeah, that person, there's no way that they're not related to Vina.
I was going to say, Checkers is used to being ignored and dismissed by Vina Calvetta whenever she shows up.
So like, you've talked to her like twice.
Yeah, and both times she's completely ignored him. And like the way that this man viewed Checkers and the rest of the party, just looked up, barely waved, went back to spellcasting, dead on for how Checkers remembers Vina treating him.
Just being like, you're too much nonsense for me
some
right
real
now.
Vina energy.
Right, exactly. And that is how Checkers recognizes this person.
And I'll even say that Kaskrin, because you have done so much work on profiling people in the city and kind of knowing, especially about who's who, and like, you would at least know his name, which is Paulus Calvetta, which is basically Paul, but with an extra U.S., L-U-S at the end. And again, you would know him. He's an entrepreneur, basically a professional rich person, which is not unusual in rebuilding cities like this. And apparently is also a skilled magician.
And Kaskrin will go up and like shake his hand and introduce, you know, like he'll say like, Paulus Calvetta, I presume, and like, you know, go through the whole introduction. But yeah, he's done the research. He knows who this is.
Yeah, especially once the connection is kind of made, it's like, ah, there's the name, there's the dossier, it's flashing back, I got it. He sees you coming and like puts a hand up and keeps reading the spell just for a little bit more until there is that kind of last, almost like, feeling. And as soon as you kind of hear that almost telltale arcane sound, he finally drops his hand and turns to you and says, ah, pleasure to meet you. Hello, you have me at a disadvantage. I am indeed Paulus. And you are?
Kaskrin Brightmane of the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild.
Indeed.
We work very closely with your sister, Vina.
Yes, that was my understanding. And of course, and he looks kind of at all of you guys, I have heard great things about all the things you've done for the city and on behalf of everyone here. Thank you so much.
Val, as he looks over at her, is like limbering up, like stretching and getting ready, and also has like her own, she's like doing like a string of like, you've prepared this. Just remember, like, this is the just proposed layout.
Doing some affirmations, basically. Yeah.
Can I add something really dumb?
I better than anybody else I know.
I will tentatively. I'll hear you out. Yes, David.
So I imagine Kaskrin, having read Paulus's dossier, you know, knows some information about them.
Totally.
And one of the facts listed is like when he was 13, he was like number one in an Agmar-wide like spelling bee competition.
Well, yeah, I mean, genuinely, like, again, you would know this, and everyone at the table would know this, especially now that you've kind of interacted with Vina a few times. Like, the Calvettas are big deals. Like, they are, you know, kind of hereditary big deals from the Pentarchy, and were rich and powerful, and I will say, if there is a family who would be good at spelling bees, the Calvettas would definitely be very good at spelling bees.
They can afford all the spelling bees.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. They got tutors. Yeah. 100%.
That was it.
Just, okay. I wasn't sure. It was like,
I thought Kaskrin was going to bring it up.
Right. That's me too. It's like, hey, big fan. I'm a spelling bee aficionado. Always love to meet a champion such as yourself, sir. Nope, this is just a fun fact.
That's the thing I know about you. I'm not going to bring it up, and nobody will ever know about it again.
Well, as your eyes gaze over his spell book, you can see, wow, every one of those words spelled perfectly.
Yeah, wow.
Incredible.
And Selv will exchange very slow pleasantries with Trankar.
No one can tell a joke in this chamber.
Checker, shut up.
And at the time, as you guys have all kind of introduced yourselves, you guys are still doing the formal introductions over in the corner with the very slow Trankar. Paulus looks at you all and is like, and of course, speaking of, I believe my sister was supposed to be here. Was she with you? Did you see her?
She did not come into the library with us. I have not seen her yet this morning.
I'm certainly not worried. I was surprised that she asked for my help, but I am not surprised that she is called elsewhere at the moment.
Does Kasker bring up that there was a frog incident at the Waveless Lake this morning?
No, he's talking to Trankar.
Yeah. No, you're not talking to Trankar. Selv's talking to
Trankar. Everyone can. Like, I love the idea that like everyone is just like huddled around Trankar. Yeah. Just everyone's chatting.
Oh, I was gonna say to Trankar, hey.
No.
Hey Trankar. What did Spartacus say when the lion ate his wife?
Who's Spartacus?
Nothing. He was Gladiator.
Oh, man.
No.
You're in timeout.
Okay, bye.
Trankar hasn't moved a muscle. And is just has this thousand-yard stare for a moment. And then slowly looks over at you and makes very, very direct eye contact. Ha! 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 And continues for some time.
Great. Perfect.
We actually can't get into the restricted section now because Trankar can't stop laughing.
He's just doubled over.
He was the
over.
Last component. The last part of the spell.
You don't understand Gladiator. Ha. 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 Izan's like, please, I have things, I have to open the shop.
Nope, because Trankar is in like a very 4x slow knee
slap. Paulus kind of comes up to you guys as Trankar turns away wheezing, just truly losing his mind, and says, while we're waiting, I believe we need official city say-so to let you all in. But in the meantime, what do you know? Any updates that I can provide for you of what we've been doing, about what's going on, about your plans? Any way I can be of use?
Well, Paulus, I appreciate you being here. I'd love to know what you all have been up to, but our plan is to start with our first two books that are required to complete the spells. I think we are going to start with the Pentarchy Proclamations, Volume 19. As going straight for the Liber Morte seems ill-advised. We should kind of warm up to such a hefty tome.
Certainly, I don't have any opinions on whatever order that you decide to do it. I am more of a book-learned magician. You see, I'm not a guilder such as yourselves. I'm sure your route is what will be best, though I will say it is probably very wise of you to make sure that you get whatever you need, whatever you truly need, first. Because, we're doing our best, but there is significant arcane leakage coming from the restricted section at the moment. It's usually safe when weed is all the way fully sealed, but now that we've cracked it open for you all to enter, it is it's a little tricky. We'll probably only have a few hours. Our best guess is 4 to 5 total to find whatever books you need before decisions have to be made, shall we say.
Can I ask, what does the room look like at this point? Especially the runes, like the spell work that's going on? Because I'm trying to gauge, like, are we barely containing this magical energy that's, like, fighting to get out? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's the deal?
Yeah, can you roll me... I would take, Arcana, technically, or even, like, a... I'll give you a perception.
Okay.
Or whatever else, if there's anything else that you're vibing.
I'll go with perception for this one, just to see, like, what's up. That is a 14.
So, it's hard to say, just because, like, this is some pretty technical stuff happening in front of you, and you're just looking at it at a glance. But other than the fact that it's just a large vault door, basically, in front of you that is, like, gleaming at the sides, you take a kind of step back and just kind of read the room, like you said. Suddenly, your perspective shifts, and you kind of take in the amount of rune work and all of the scraps of protective spell work and all the kind of wisps of things happening. And it's like all of it is all pointed at the vault, you know, where it's almost like an optical illusion where every bit of whatever arcane might has been mustered is all pointed directly at this vault. And so you don't know how much or how bad, but you can tell that all of this is what they deem necessary. And Paulus would tell you that they are holding it and absorbing it and redirecting it.
Yeah.
And so that's the level of work, just to kind of like judo throw it in right, a way yeah. that is not dangerous. Gotcha. If that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does all of this excess magical energy, will that interfere with any spells that are cast inside the restricted section?
That is hard to say. Not knowing what is in there, and we've tried, divination is a little finicky. Our best guess is no. But our best guess is that we don't know.
And what about physically? Exposure to that much undirected magical energy?
Yes, that is an excellent point. And before you go in, be sure to speak to Azan. I believe he has some ideas, some countermeasures for you all. And behind Paulus, kind of in the shadows of this weird kaleidoscope room, not towards the entrance you guys came in, you see something moving. And something unfurl itself from the ceiling.
Andromeda?
Hi, y'all. How's it going? Everyone settled okay? Good. And Andromeda shows up. But now you can actually see her, I think, for the first time outside of her desk. It's a lot to take in. Andromeda is, again, just like a weird kaleidoscope of a being where there are just always arms like a centipede just crawling around and kind of moving and that kind of stuff. And she is very human, but also very not human and all of this, but has a big smile on her face like, hey guys, so sorry I was late. Everyone settled in. Everyone introduced themselves. Great, great, awesome. And I know that Captain Calvetta is on her way in as well. And just as that kind of comes, you hear boots come down, echo mm-hmm. down the hallway, and you see a doubly familiar face of Vina Calvetta, the captain of the Red Guard. And as she gets closer, you realize it's not just a boot clomping sound. There's kind of a squish to the boots as well. And you see as she approaches that Vina Calvetta is also quite damp. Vina approaches you all and looks around, you know, she kind of very effectively looks around, meets all of your eyes, kind of nods. Her eyes settle on Mango, and her eyes settle on Checkers.
Notice me, senpai.
Yeah, Checkers is very excited just to, like, finally get the attention that he deserves.
Witness me!
Yeah, exactly. Just lights up. It's like, hi, Vina. Good to see ya.
And she continues looking at you very, very impassively. And she says, I apologize, everyone. I was spoken for. I had a small crisis to attend to, some facts to gather about some happenings down at the lake. Thank you all once again for being here. We, of course, appreciate it. I'm here mostly as a formality to be a member of the city who is officially granting you access here into the library. But everyone well? Everyone feeling confident?
Absolutely. We can do this.
Confidence is high.
Good. Vina just kind of looks at you and is like, well, all right. Now that I'm here and everyone is here, and as long as our various wizards and magicians believe that things are contained well enough, are you all ready to enter into the restricted section?
I believe we were instructed to speak to Azan before we actually go in.
Yes, of course. Hold on. And you hear Azan is like ruffling through all sorts of papers and just like tearing apart a backpack. He comes over with just 5 sheets of paper and he looks at each of you, walks up to you each individually, and then looks and then kind of looks down at the paper and then looks back at you. And there's a couple just kind of arcane symbols on it. And then he starts folding up the paper very quickly and very efficiently. And we'll say he starts with Kaskrin. And after he is done folding, he hands you the thing that he's folded. And it is just a little humanoid with a big beard that is vaguely Kaskrin shaped.
Kaskrin takes it, mostly surprised that this is free of charge.
Oh, it's not free of charge. It is just you're not paying for it. The city is paying for it. And Zahn would even say that.
But Kastrin will believe in his heart of hearts. It's free for him.
Right, exactly. And Azan's like, ah, yes, and one for each of you, please be sure to take this. This is kind of a, how to explain it quickly, it's kind of like a stand-in representation of your corporeal beings, if that makes sense. We hope, we think, no, I feel relatively sure that this is going to do everything that it needs to protect you. It's going to try and, you know, kind of basically just keep you in mortal shape, like the shape, the literal physical shape of you. That should help. It will help. Guaranteed. Asterisk. So everyone have one of these. Keep it in a pocket somewhere close to you on your person. It's very important. But hopefully this will give you some amount of protection, at least while you're in there, against things. Consider it a good luck charm. A good luck charm. But no money back. If you have bad luck. It's different.
Val is going over in her mind of like, okay, so the raw magical force that we're about to enter into is probably going to try to turn us into goop monsters. So therefore, we're getting this corporeal exoskeleton.
Kinda, cool, yeah. Cool. An astral exoskeleton, yeah. Exactly.
You know in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when they try to do too many jumps in a row?
Yeah, right. Or Hitchhiker's Guide, you go to the various dimensions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Azan kind of like hands it to you and just kind of like pats it, your hands each time he hands it to you. And even hands one to Mango that is just kind of like one of those little like origami frogs that like you can make hop if you hit their butts.
Question for you, Azan. What happens if I don't have my own little figure? Like, what happens if I have Val's figure?
Well, first of all, the magic is guaranteed. The strongest guarantee that I can possibly offer to you is going to this. However, there is an extended warranty, and unfortunately, swapping paper souls with other people does break the warranty. I would advise against it, and the reason is because it gets messy.
Val mind links Checkers like, fucking try it.
I will end you.
Now is not the time to mess with Checkers. You are already on my short list.
Thinnest of ice. Yeah. Checkers.
Forget I asked it. Thanks, Azan.
I am excited to meet Vango and Cheskarin.
Just a Star Trek transporter accident where they get fused into one being.
Yeah.
And as kind of those final preparations are made and that sort of thing, Andromeda comes over and is also kind of fussing over you guys and is like, well, you know, hey, great luck. We're all rooting for you here at the library. You guys are some of our favorite patrons. We really appreciate it. We understand. We were happy. And this is not me. This is on behalf of the library board who send their regards. We appreciate the sacrifice that we are being asked to make of donating some books in the long-term semi-permanent loan. So while you're in there, if you were to find and safely bring back some interesting pieces, it would be very appreciated.
Understood. We will do our best.
Kind of with that, everyone goes back to their positions around the vault, specifically all four of the people who are here when you got here, kind of going back to making sure that everything is locked down, everything's where it needs to be, charging it with one last burst of kind of energy, whatever they need. Andromeda kind of takes a few steps back and maybe, I don't know, shunts herself up into the dark, deep corner of the room.
I imagine she like locks the door into this chamber and then pulls on just this ginormous set of like goggles and sunglasses. Like
for all eight eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And Vina Calvetta stands basically with you guys. She says, like a little bit quieter, when it's just kind of the five of you, of, are you all still feeling truly up for this? I've talked to the Shield and everyone will understand if this is too unknown. if this is too dangerous, if there are second thoughts now that you're seeing this.
I can't speak for my fellow guild members, but I am so excited for this.
Kaskrin has a bit more of a worried look on his face, but he does tell Vina, this is what we signed up for. Not just this door, but many unknown doors. This is what we became adventurers for.
And we're going to be the first people through this spooky, unknown magical portal into a restricted section of the library that no one has ever been to before? Yeah, I want to go, of course.
Self will place one hand on Vina's shoulder and just look at her directly in the eye and just say,
we have this.
And she looks around at you, even to Checkers.
A canon now that Vina just ignores Checkers.
Yeah, right. It's a big deal every time. And if only you all at home could see Jonathan's just huge shit-eating grin every time.
Just so happy.
Just deeply happy. And she looks around and kind of and makes meaningful eye contact with each of you, both as you say, you kind of give your response, but also in that just half a beat afterwards. And she just gives a decisive nod and says, all right, I'll open the door. I'll close it behind you. Hurry back. And she approaches, like she walks kind of over all of the intricate rune work and up to this vault door that is 10, 15 feet tall and is almost, now that you're up, it's not a circle. It is an archway where it is almost a perfect vault door for what must have just been a hallway. As all of the prismatic lights are shining through it, she kind of puts two hands on the big dial, I guess, that opens it up and looks back at you guys and nods. She spins the vault dial, I suppose, and it just circles and circles and circles, and it must be perfectly made or even illusory, who knows. And then she grabs it and yanks it back. As the door gets flung open, you see at your feet above you on the walls all around you on those columns, you see all those runes just light up in a cascade. All those different colors you're seeing and all just kind of humming with this neon energy as it is trying to contain or redirect or who knows what, any number of fail safes as this outpouring of energy hits you guys. And there's an initial kind of just like blowback against your bodies that you can feel. And then it all just kind of equalizes and you can feel this warmth ahead of you as you step through the doorway into the restricted section. And that is where we will pick up next week.
Yay!
Hooray!
Yay!
As far as we know, we're all still alive.
Yay! See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I will say, Sophie, you will get plenty. Please proactively ask for, hello, it's me, your girl Val. I know some library stuff.
It's your girl Val, whose entire background is library.
Whose job
this,
is...
Val's job is library.
Is library, exactly.
I feel like Jurassic Park, this is a Linux system.
Right, yeah,
I know this system.
Exactly. There will probably be a few times where I'll be like, in a normal library, you would 100% know about this or this is. this ain't that. But I think for the most part, there'll be a lot of times, again, of like getting advantage on things or, you know, little boons and bonuses or what have you. So
now our merch is going to be each character's. My job is.
Yeah, Val's job is library.